Welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch with me, Jisoo Kee. Thanks so much for being with us here on WGN Radio. It's a real privilege to be able to keep you company. Hope you're hanging in there. Give yourself a pat on the back. You're doing great. We just heard from Orion about the market numbers, but let's dive a little deeper with the Director of Performance Trust Capital Partners, Brian Battle. Hi, Brian.
Hey, G. Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. We're hanging in there. I think I like your encouragement. Everybody should hang in there.
Yeah. Listen, market volatility went from something that was conceptual for a lot of people to something very, very real. I know that the numbers keep fluctuating today. It's sort of, do you just hold your breath and wait?
I think that's right, G. And volatility is an important concept for everyone to get a hands on. So the S&P today might avoid selling off or rallying, going up or down, more or less than 4% at one session. So we've had 9 sessions in a row, about 4% move. Today, the S&P is moving about 1.5%. So the outlier there is the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is rallying 3% as investors seem to be coming back, and bargain hunters are trying to find technology companies to buy. But volatility is important to understand because we've had so little volatility in 2017, 2018, 2019. The market just sort of ground higher and higher and higher. And that led some technical trading. There are some hedge funds and some arbitrageurs who were betting that volatility wouldn't come back. And so you can bet on that. But if that trade goes backwards, if there is increasing volatility, let's say there's an international pandemic or the price of oil collapses, that means all those people that betting there wouldn't be volatility have to sell. So there is forced liquidation. Forced liquidation means more liquidation. So a lot of the sell-off we've seen certainly has been people just getting out of the way, but a lot of it has been professional investors having to sell. So that's why we see this capitulation and selling at any price, and that feels like a disaster and a panic. And then that picks up speed as just regular people like you and I see that and say, man, I got to get out of the way. So hopefully, and I'm not calling the end of the sell-off, but today it seems like the market's a little bit more organized. There seems to be real buyers. That combined with the administration and, Capitol Hill is something we talked about last time, G, is they've announced a $1 trillion plan, which is $500 billion for individuals, $300 billion for small business, $50 billion for airlines, and $150 billion for other sectors like hotels and cruises. So there seems to be maybe some relief here that Washington is getting its act together, and maybe the sell-off is starting to abate.
Thanks for explaining that in such a easy to understand way. Is today better for you than obviously? I mean, yesterday felt so devastating. But do you still hold your breath today, or do you have to think about waiting for the rest of the week or into next week? When do you finally sort of say, okay, I can breathe a little bit?
Well, the good news for investors is one of the things that the Fed has done is put in the backstop again for money market liquidity. They've reinvented the money market liquidity facility, which backstops money market funds, meaning they won't break the buck. So they've protected regular investors like you and I. If you have money in a money market fund, the Fed is going to go in there and make sure that doesn't go below 1 or you won't lose principal value. So, yes, I think we're all still holding our breath because what still is undetermined is how long will the quarantine last? How long will people not be consuming and producing? Meaning U.S. productivity is going down. Global productivity is going down. So we're not out of the woods yet, but it's a good signal here that we're feeling better. That said, G, tomorrow we could be down another 3% if there's another bad headline. This consumer confidence and this market confidence is very fragile because we're dealing with something that none of us have dealt with since 1918. We've got a global pandemic. Seems really dangerous, and so we're quarantining ourselves. That medical aspect makes it really difficult to price. So good news today, seems like it's getting better, but we are definitely not out of the woods, and this is something that will be measured in months, not days.
Okay, so a long ways to go. I mean, this is your life's work. You're an expert at this. What would you say to the regular person? Don't look at their accounts right now.
Right. Well, you should look at your account and know what you own. You know what your exposure is to Asia, know what your exposure is to Europe, emerging markets. I mean, how much is it U.S.? You know, so everything, it's not, and the sell-off isn't just the U.S. I mean, globally, you know, Asia is selling off 9 to 10%. You know, the European indices are off 3 to 6%. So this sell-off has been international. So I would say know what you own. Warren Buffett would tell you that everything that you, all those stocks that you bought in January are 25% cheaper, so keep buying. So dollar cost average. I think the thing to do is, did you have a good plan at the beginning, and there really isn't any reason to change it now, because what's slowing the economy down isn't bad economic data. It's a forced quarantine. We have done this to ourselves willfully and for the right reasons. We know we're making people stay home, not working, not producing, not consuming, but this will pass. Sooner or later, this is going to end. I mean, there's a the press conference today on the Hill from the CDC and the FDA talking about, hey, they think maybe they've found something that might work against this virus. So it's not all bad news. Again, I'm going to be very cautious here and say we haven't turned the corner yet, but I think you have to stay the course, and you own stocks as an investor. You own investments as an investor, not as a trader. So I think the thing is to hang in there. If you don't have the stomach for this, if this is keeping you up at night, you should talk to your financial advisor, maybe change your allocations, because these times will persist for a while here. And what I wouldn't want people to do is run for the hills at the worst possible moment. I'm not going to diagnose people's personal portfolios over the phone. It's impossible. But talk to your professional. If it's your 401k at work, your HR department has a contact there. Have a conversation with someone and understand the risk that you're taking and make sure that you're comfortable with it.
Well, thank you for those reassuring words. Brian Battle, director at the Performance Trust Companies. Of course, this is a stressful time for everybody, but especially for people that are now out of work or underemployed. Thinking of all of my hospitality friends, all of the rideshare drivers who aren't getting rides right now. 64,000 Illinois residents have submitted unemployment claims to the state's Department of Employment Security just this Monday through Wednesday. Joining us now is Marie Lynch. She's the founder and president and CEO of Skills for Chicagoland's Future. Hi, Marie.
Hi there. Good morning.
So 64,000 Illinois residents, mm-hmm. and I've been hearing from friends that they're having difficulty even logging onto the website or calling in to even file an unemployment claim. Of course, they're stressed out because they've been told that they've got to get in early and get that paperwork going right away. Can you talk a little bit about the economic landscape as it relates to jobs? I mean, goodness, I feel really bad for those folks that were looking for jobs even before this happened.
Yeah. So yes, the economic landscape is tough right now. As we know, and as you've reported on, hospitality is significantly impacted. And, the airports are impacted, airlines are impacted. A lot of jobs that used to be there right now are not. However, what is happening though is there are some pockets of hope. And I think it's important to talk about some of those, because when these crises happen, that there are opportunities that open up. And at Skills Chicagoland's Future, one of the things we've done is we work with all of our business clients on a daily basis, because it's changing, honestly, changing hourly sometimes and daily in terms of opportunities being open in the morning and then closing, then other opportunities opening. And so, to give you a sense of what is out there, you can imagine, you probably saw, Juul has announced that they're hiring 3,000 people. And so there are opportunities there, at multiple levels at Juul to work. Walgreens is still hiring. Airports, actually, cargo, anything related to cargo, there actually is hiring related to that, right? So the transportation and logistics industry right now is also has an influx as people are doing things online. Some pockets in manufacturing, financial services generally kind of, a little bit on hold right now. And healthcare, I think, is going to change rapidly. There's times that we're seeing in the past week even that it's been high, and then other times as it's dropped as they're getting ready for the COVID patients coming on. But I think we're anticipating that there'll be some pockets of increasing there. So it's going to be a tough go. People do need to file for their unemployment, but they can certainly come to scfjobs.com on a daily basis and see anywhere that there is pandemic hiring that is occurring that we can help with.
Do you want you to mention what Skills for Chicagoland's Future does?
Yeah. So we're we're a not-for-profit. I'm actually the founding CEO. We founded it, you know, roughly 10 years ago, and I went through the first recession when we founded this. So I'm very accustomed to what happens when folks are unemployed, and it honestly breaks my heart to see this. But what Skills does is we partner with over 50 companies. We have a board of directors of all CEOs and CHROs, and we get a sense on we get them to commit to hire, and they let us know exactly where their jobs are and where their jobs are not, and then we work with the unemployed to get them, you know, ready and placed in those jobs. And while the majority of our staff is now remote, there is a small skeleton crew, you know, physically in the office, but majority remote. But we are still fully open for business to work with both our employers and the unemployed who need to be matched up during this difficult time.
So it might not be your dream job at the moment, but it'll be work nonetheless that you could potentially
find.
What
I would say. That's correct. I think, you know, my advice to workers right now is you have just like employers are pivoting with the new normal, you have to pivot as well. And yes, it might not be your dream job, and you might have loved, maybe you were a restaurant worker, right? And you still love doing that, but you can now go to Mariano's and Costco and Walgreens and Jewel, and you can get, you know, you're actually a really good candidate for them to go work. And so think about things right now in terms of, you know, days, weeks, and months instead of like your long-term career path. And there are opportunities, and go after those and take care of now until the market returns.
Psychologically, it's super important to remember that this is just for the time being, and that at some point this too shall pass.
That's right. That's right. We will, you know, there's lots of economists who are making projections on how long that'll be. But certainly there, you know, I mean, I think everybody would agree that being pent up in our homes for, you know, whatever, how many weeks this ends up being, there's going to be at some point when the restrictions are lifted, you know, certainly, you know, we hope there'll be a boom in the return of hospitality and restaurants because people will be so excited to be back out there. But important to take care of your needs right now, both in terms of unemployment and looking at the pockets that open up, and to use resources like ours at scfjobs.com to see on a daily basis what's available if you need to be working.
I know that you did mention the grocery stores and Amazon. I also saw an article about how Domino's is also looking to hire because so many more people are delivering food now.
Yes, so. Yes. That's exactly right. You know, the Grubhub, the DoorDashes, any of those as well, you know, anything related to delivery is very popular right now. And I think, you know, I think the other thing to think about, too, is there's also a report which came out last Friday. You know, you mentioned the 64,000 number today, but there was a report which came out last Friday that said, as of last Friday, that 25% of those who were making under $50,000 had had their hours reduced or had lost employment. And so, you know that, you know, as a city, we also need to take care, you know, corporations are thinking about how to take care of things. There's a new fund, the Chicago COVID-19 Response Fund.org, where they're asking, you know, employers or individuals who want to contribute, because we recognize that as a city, we need to take care of ours at home who have lost their wages and are going to need support. So there are opportunities out there to also contribute if you care deeply.
Absolutely. And I've noticed that a lot of restaurants and bars have and artists organizations and little storefront theaters have created GoFundMe pages. So I just feel as if you're going to think about the places you would normally visit in these next 2 weeks or a couple of weeks that you would normally be contributing to. And if you're able to and you have a paycheck, go to those GoFundMe sites, make sure they're legitimate, of course, and contribute.
Correct.
Yeah. So any last word, anything that, you know, job seekers, you know, people worrying. I mean, what about people just they're so worried about losing their jobs, too?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that. That's what I was going to close with, actually. For those people who do have jobs, I think that's important, too, to say that, you know, companies, here's my advice, is make yourself as invaluable as you can and pivot with what's happening. Forget about what your job title says right now. Recognize where your employer is moving and where the companies are all pivoting, and drop what maybe in your head of what your job is supposed to be, and think about what's just needed and do that and be valuable. Identify opportunities inside the company to make yourself valuable right now, because I think that's important as well.
Yeah. So you're just saying that right now it's time to drop worrying about titles. It's about banding together and everybody doing their part to make things work.
Right. And whatever your manager asks you to do, especially for those entry-level employees, maybe it's not what you signed up to do, you know, 2 weeks ago or 2 years ago. But whatever they're asking you to do, do it and do it really well, and approach every day like it's a job interview, and do as well as you can.
Okay, Marie, I think this is super important. Can you give your contact information one more time?
Sure. So for those of you looking for jobs and want to know on a daily basis what's available, go to scfjobs.com. And for those employers that have opportunities, we are doing the matching for the unemployed that are growing daily. Go to skillsforchicagolandsfuture.com.
Okay.
We're here for you, Chicago. We're here for you.
Thanks, Marie, for being with us. Marie Lynch, she's the founding president and CEO of Skills for Chicagoland's Future. I'm getting a lot of unemployment questions about how to apply for it. Our producer, Jasmine, and I are going to try to reach out to an employment lawyer soon and hopefully get them on to answer those questions as well. Thanks so much to Marie. A lot more coming up here on WGN Radio. And thanks for sticking with the Wintrust Business Lunch. We heard the president in his press conference today say that small businesses would be getting help. We didn't hear quite what the details of that would be, but that small businesses are definitely the engine of the country and very distraught, worried about all of the small businesses. You know, they're not going to get a huge bailout. So very concerned about, you know, restaurants and bars and then little businesses, you know, bicycle shops and florists. And I have a florist joining us today. Her name's Kelly Marie Thompson. She owns Floor Inc. in Chicago in the Logan Square neighborhood. And Kelly, you've been around since 2002.
We have, yeah.
We've been hearing a lot about event cancellations, conferences being canceled, conventions being canceled, and then, of course, sadly, weddings being canceled as well. What has this meant for your business?
Absolutely. Right now, we're really just trying to focus on all of our clients rescheduling instead of canceling as much as they can and as much as it works within their budget, of course. Because if everything just continues to be canceled, pretty soon there won't be enough florists or planners available to have those celebrations at a later time. So, you know, we're working with everyone and telling them, you know, it's okay right now to feel sad and we're here for you. But the more time we have to reschedule, the more we can do and the more flexible we can be.
So, Kelly, small businesses normally operate under cash flow challenges even in the best of times, right? So now
Absolutely.
You're drawing from personal savings to make overhead and payroll. Is that what's mostly happening?
We're getting to that point pretty soon. You know, I'm fortunate. We have always prepared for something, some kind of emergency, and because a lot of our weddings is really seasonal work, we do have a bit of a buffer that has, for my company at least, helped me get through this last week and for a little bit longer, but at some point that is going to be depleted, and, you know, we are going to have to look at those other options.
Well, we've heard about the incredibly small margins that restaurants and bars operate it under. I'm assuming that's true for most small businesses.
Absolutely. You know, especially when we're working with perishables, although we have our retail, which is, you know, fully stocked with hard goods, at some point we're going to have to liquidate those if this continues on and just keep, you know, keep pushing forward.
So let's talk about these perishables. How in advance do you have to order flowers, and at what point can you cancel those orders? Are you even able to, or are you just sitting on top of a lot of flowers right now?
Yeah, fortunately, as we were able to cancel some of our orders, I do know other florists in other states that have been unable to do that. So they have, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 worth that they are just sitting on and trying to, they're, you know, some of them are giving them away. Some of them are doing little flower drop-offs throughout the city that people can find and pick up. But fortunately for us right now, we're at an as-need basis, so we can continue to offer curbside pickups and some no-contact deliveries right now.
I know that you're trying to encourage clients to reschedule as opposed to completely cancel, because I'm assuming that they paid a deposit, then you would have to return that deposit if they completely canceled altogether. But isn't the summer going to be an extremely busy time for events and weddings anyway? Are you going to be able to find a room to reschedule them?
Yeah, so that's what we've been doing. The last week has really just been a lot of phone calls, a lot of filling out the details with planners and venues and our partners like lightning companies and pipe and drape companies, just making sure everyone is available. Weddings are now being looked at on Fridays and on Sundays. I even had a request for someone who was willing to get married on a Thursday. So it is definitely going to push the labor into, you know, a little bit more of a heavy push later on in the season.
I'm sure it's quite heavy. It's a heavy toll emotionally when you're dealing with a bride that had to cancel her wedding on top of, and the groom too, or, you know, if it's same-sex marriage, whatever. Anyone that's getting married, of course, it's just going to be difficult. They had to cancel and people had to cancel flights and coming in to town. But I guess it also puts things into perspective about what's important.
Absolutely. You know, we've actually had a bunch of our planners that we've worked with send flowers to their couples because of the cancellations and the rescheduling. And my comments to all of them is, you know, if you as a couple can make it through what we're going through right now, I'm pretty sure that by the time you walk down that aisle, you're going to be able to get ready to get through anything.
That's a really good point. Of course, you are lucky enough to have a retail section as well, which includes you have home goods, you have jewelry, fragrances. So people can still support you by shopping online. And that's really cool, too. People can support you by sending flowers to people as well. So you're still operating?
Absolutely, yes. We're still operating. Our retail is closed to the public, but customers can call us or send us an email or Instagram message for curbside pickup and the deliveries. We are doing no-contact delivery, so we text you before we arrive and find a safe place to drop everything off. And honestly, right now, aside from flowers, candles are the number one seller right now. Everyone's just looking for something to brighten up their day.
I never thought about that, but also candles are probably good to freshen up where everyone's stuck inside.
Absolutely. I know I brought a couple home myself.
What about flower delivery? This is a great question from the 708. Push for flowers for hospitals because visitation is so limited. Events are still going to happen like birthdays, babies, anniversaries. Are you still allowed to deliver flowers to hospitals?
As of right now, we haven't had any deliveries to hospitals yet. I believe that, you know, to be honest, I actually can't answer that question.
Okay.
I don't know if they're treating it as you know, intensive care or not yet.
Curious. Just was wondering in terms of nursing homes and all of that, what the rules and regulations are. But Kelly, finally, we can support you online. We can call. We can pick up curbside, no contact delivery, curbside. Hearing about the SBA, the Small Business Administration, and hearing that that there are some loans that small business owners can take out. I also know that, you know, that's something that small business owners are kind of reluctant to take on because they don't want to take on more debt, especially when they have such small margins as well. Some of them are really teetering on the edge of solvency. Thank goodness that's not you. But have you heard more about that or, you know, also from your fellow small business owners?
Absolutely. We've been looking into the SBA. And right now, from what I can tell, it just really needs to streamline its approval process. And I agree, I'm not comfortable with taking out a loan right now. It's, you know, we're being punished for this invisible enemy that we have. And it's really, our government needs to find some sort of program for small businesses. I hate saying it, but, you know, that money needs to come quickly.
Well, thank you so much, Kelly Marie Thompson. Support her business, FloorChicago.com. If not her, support your local neighborhood business. Thanks so much for being with us. A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. We're going to check in with Ian Schur, editor-at-large for CNET.com, especially because today is Tech Thursday. Hi, Ian.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're hanging in there. Hope you are, too. I'm guessing you're working from home.
Yep, we all are, and not only that, we've got the kids home too, so it is a full house here. It's
homeschooling, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, following that up, is the internet under strain from all of this unprecedented use? You know, like, will we literally break the internet?
Unlikely. So we've been hearing from a number of the different carriers and internet service providers saying that they were ready for this and that they have built their networks to be able to handle this. And, you know, believe it or not, in a logical way, we're all kind of using a very similar amount of internet we were before. We're just doing it from home instead of work. So generally speaking, it's pretty handleable. It is interesting, though, we're hearing from a lot of people, Facebook says their usage is up a lot, which is not a shock. We heard from Microsoft that a lot of usage of their stuff is jumping dramatically. So there's definitely a lot more usage of different apps around the internet, which, you know, we're all home. We're all trying to figure out how to work or how to not go crazy from cabin fever. And these companies are starting to see the results of that.
There was a rumor that 5G created coronavirus.
Yeah, an unfortunate rumor, by the way. So, to start off, we have a really good story on CNET about it. But essentially, there's a lot of concerns about what 5G is. There are people who are concerned that the radio waves could have impact on them, that it could all sorts of stuff. And these concerns about around cellular signals have been around forever. But this specific rumor that 5G created the coronavirus doesn't live up to facts. Like, first off, coronavirus is in places where 5G isn't. Also, you know, radio waves are not biology. It's all very different stuff. But it hasn't stopped us from going around the internet.
So speaking of rumors, there's a ton of hoaxes and, of course, scams as well around coronavirus. How are social media and government, how are they protecting users from these untruths?
Well, they are spending a lot of time on it, unfortunately. They are finding that they have to put out statements and tweets and whatnot. You may have seen the National Security Council, which, you know, among other things, advises the president on all sorts of stuff. They had to take time out of their day to put out a tweet on Monday or Sunday, I forget, saying that there wasn't going to be martial law declared right now. That was a rumor that was going around. There are others about what various governments are doing or, you know, just fake information about the virus itself. And unfortunately, you see that governments are having to spend a ton of time going out there and disproving this stuff. And, you know, I've seen Dr. Anthony Fauci, right, one of the experts from the government. He's been on all the TV shows and talk shows talking about just the basic rumors that go around and trying to explain stuff to people. And a lot of that is driven by social media.
Prevalent in news this week also are all the elections that are happening. How is technology helping to keep voters safe?
So one of the things I think we're starting to see a lot is that, first off, a number of states are not going to let this stop them from voting. So, for example, Florida had their primary earlier this week. We're starting to see a bunch of different places say, you know, we're not going to let this stop us. So what's happening instead is that there's a lot of talk about starting to do mail-in ballots. You know, mail-in balloting is actually becoming a default in some places. There is a little talk about using an app to vote. There's a lot of concern about that in the tech world because we really don't know whether we can trust that stuff. Government doesn't have the best track record with this type of security. So a lot of people are trying to say, well, okay, let's keep voting, absolutely, but maybe let's focus on mail-in ballots and stuff like that. Let's not switch to an even more questionable technology just as we're dealing with this coronavirus.
Well, Ian, I want to leave you with this meme. I know that you're home with the kids and homeschooling. To parents entertaining kids during social distancing and quarantine, if you keep them alive, that is sufficient. Don't feel guilty if you're not enriching their souls, teaching them a new language and sign language and engaging their spirits. Toss them some fish sticks. They'll be fine. Okay. Stay safe, Ian.
That'll make me feel better. Thank you.
All right. Stay safe until we talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Take care.
The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.